At the time, I thought she was a mean, nasty, strict, overbearing teacher. She demanded the best in us, and she would not settle for anything less. And I still remember the day that she got me in the coat room and shook me till I cried because I didn't do my homework again. And she gave me fair warning. But we're all here this morning because of the grace of God. And we love Him because He first loved us. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, this morning in Matthew chapter 13. My message is on one of my favorite subjects in the Bible, and that is the church. The church of Jesus Christ. Emblems of the church. Emblems are chosen to give us a picture of whatever it's supposed to represent. The Red Cross Society, they have a red cross as their emblem. It shows it's a symbol of love and help and sacrifice. Automobiles have their own emblems and their own logos. The New York Yankees have a famous logo. And Starbucks, they have an emblem also. They got an emblem of a woman. And you see it on the paper cups, you know, the coffee cups. And it's an interesting story how they got their emblem. This woman is a picture, a symbol of a mermaid from Greek mythology. And in 1971, when Starbucks started, they were looking for a nautical theme to capture the spirit of Seattle. Back then, Seattle was noted for sailing and seaports. And this mythical creature would murder sailors by being attractive. And they would sing an irresistible, sweet song. And the sailors supposedly would listen to this beautiful music and be distracted by this mermaid singing and crash into the rocks. Just like so many people today are attracted to those high-priced places, they sit down and they plug in their laptops, and you never hear from them again. And they join the other victims in that place that sit in his little tables, you know. But God's Word uses different emblems to describe His church. The word church means called out assembly. We are called out this morning to assemble, to worship the Lord. Amen? Amen. And if you are saved, you have been called out to serve Him. We are saved for a reason. We are saved for a purpose. Last Sunday, I was in church. I was at a Baptist church in Cape Cod. It was Baptist in name only. As a matter of fact, they changed the sign and they had the name of the town in big letters, and the word Baptist was real small over the word church, which was real big, and I knew I was in trouble then. But nonetheless, we went inside. The parking lot was full. There were people everywhere, people coming and going. As we were coming in, a group was coming out. And to be honest with you, it was kind of like sitting in a nightclub. I've been to a nightclub when I was very, very, very young. Strobe lights, drums and steel guitars, and it was entertainment. And that's the way the service started. There were three performances in the morning, and that was it for the whole week for church. They had a room called the Coffee Connection Room. Coffee Connection Room was a big room in the back of the auditorium with glass walls where you could go there and plug in and chill out and get your coffee, and you could watch church from back there. It was like a Starbucks with a floor show. And I thought, well, I don't want to upset anybody, but we'll stay and we'll try to worship. It was a little disappointing to me. But they said if you wanted to go get your coffee anytime during the service, go right ahead to the back to the Coffee Connection. But please observe the service from there We don't want you to disturb the service. And I'm thinking, how could you ever disturb this service? The drums were banging and ba-boom, ba-boom. And it was so loud. And, after 5 minutes, I graciously sat down for the rest of the 30 minutes of singing. But in the event, it wasn't disappointing to me. But anyway, the church should be different from the world. Amen? We're taught that in the Bible. The Bible gives us different emblems to show us what a church is like and what it should be like. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. And let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the church that you have purchased with your blood. I pray this morning that you'd help us to appreciate you more and appreciate one another more. And we will be sure to give you all the praise and the glory. And all the people that love God said amen, amen and amen. The church of Jesus Christ was purchased at a great price. And so it has a great value. You know, a pearl is very expensive. I went online just to get a little ammunition for my sermon this morning, and I went to Tiffany's website and I found a pair of earrings made of pearl, just to get a little bit of a value of it, to see what it was like. And it was only $10,500 for a beautiful pair of earrings. And you could easily order it online if you had your credit card number. And I thought, man, that's a lot of money for a pair of earrings. But they're pearls. And it does tell us one thing, that pearls are expensive. Pearls have value. Pearls are formed slowly. They're not formed, all at once. They're formed over time. The Church of Jesus Christ is formed over time. For over 2,000 years, the Lord has been building his church. With every person that gets saved, we're closer to his return. Amen? And a pearl is one, and one shows unity. We're to be in unity with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so pearls have value. The World War II memorials in Washington, D.C. have great value because they represent the many who sacrificed their lives during World War II to preserve our freedoms and our liberties. Not only ours, but most of all of Europe also. I hope they never forget the sacrifice that our country made for them. But pearls are beautiful and they're costly. Expensive. And the Church of Jesus Christ is also costly. So expensive that no one can buy it. Only Jesus Christ can purchase the church. And he did it with the shedding of his own blood. Amen? Amen. The price was so great, he alone could be the one to atone for our sins. And not only ours, but for the sins he paid, for the sins of the whole world, and for all that will believe upon his name. Anyone can join the Church of Jesus Christ if they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put their trust in what he did on the cross. He alone. And then they're born again mysteriously by the power of God. They become a part of this church. Salvation, thank God, is free. But it's not cheap. It costs God everything. And so the church is like a pearl. Great value. And the Church of Jesus Christ has great value in this world. Oh, the world doesn't recognize it. The world thinks we're on the losing side. The world thinks some of us are a little crazy because we don't go along with all the craziness in this world. Isn't the world getting crazy? Crazier. Just when you think you've heard it all, you hear something else. But a pearl is like a church, according to God's word. And I'd like you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. There's another symbol for the church. as we think of symbols, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 6. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. The church is like a house. A holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes away all the confusion. Amen? The confusion of religion, the confusion of other things. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us that the church is like a house. And houses are places where people live. And houses need a lot of attention. Amen?
Amen?
Things break down. Things get lost. Things need fixing. And just like in our homes. But yet it's a place we love to go. And yet needs to be constant attention to the house. Have to keep working at it. Keeping things in order. And our church, the church also of Jesus Christ, needs constant care also. Amen?
Amen?
Otherwise, the signs of neglect start to show up in the place. You can always tell when a church is on its downward spiral. The building starts being used for storage. The corners start accumulating stuff. And repairs go unfixed. And the signs of neglect just keep on adding up. You know, houses don't fall down overnight, amen? Usually there's a leak in the ceiling, and then that destroys, you know, the walls, and then the walls go, and then there's problems with the foundation, and before you know it, you know, it's just deserted, and it's just left there. But the church needs constant care and vigilance. And we do need to care about our church family. Amen? I mean, if we're members of a church, that church deserves our loyalty. And to be a member of a church brings responsibilities. And we ought to give our loyalty to the church that God has called us to. And to stick to it. Oh, I know that we're living in a day where people don't like responsibilities. There are folks that just go from church to church to church to see what do they have this week, what does this person have that week, and they never settle down. You know, God wants us to be solid, amen, and to be a blessing. You know what encourages me? You. You know what discourages me? You. When I see you, I'm excited. When I don't see you, I'm sad. And so make me happy. Amen. It takes very little to encourage me, but you encourage me. And as members of the local church, you offer the church something that no one else can offer, and that is your personal fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
What would happen tomorrow if you woke up and didn't have an arm or a leg or some fingers? It'd be hard to function, wouldn't it?
Amen.
We're all members of this body. And God wants us to be a mighty army. He wants us to march. Amen? Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. It's hard to march when you're limping. And so think about that. Think about that this morning, please. But I'd like you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. The church is like a pillar. Not a pillow, but a pillar. 1 Peter 3. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. Did I say 1 Timothy? First time? All right, just checking on you. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Church is like a pillar. You know, a pillar is a witness. You see the ruins of Rome, and the only thing that's standing are these huge columns or pillars. And it proves that at one time there was a structure there. It proves that there was a building there. And it shows that the history books were true, that these places did exist. You know, we that follow Jesus Christ, after 2,000 years, we are a witness that He still saves. We are a witness that He still satisfies. We are a witness that He still comforts and that He is living. And that His promises are true. Amen? We're a witness that this old book called the Bible still works. Though it's criticized, though it's maligned, though it's lied about, that the Bible still works. It still saves. It still gives peace. It still gives guidance and comfort. Truth is the pillar of the church. It's interesting that God is self-existent, independent. There never was a time that He began to exist. And there never will be a time when He ceases to exist. And yet Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Amen. Amen? Amen? "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He's called the fountain of life. And He dwells in each believer in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we receive Christ, we receive the Spirit. Amen. "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. And He dwells in us. What a wonderful truth to think about. And yes, He is alive. He's just as alive as He was on that first Easter morning when up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. Amen. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. Amen. And He walks with us. What a great truth. The church is like a pillar. The church is also like a flock. 1 Peter 5:2, please. 1 Peter 5:2. The church is like a flock. Maybe you haven't thought of yourself as a flock lately. 1 Peter chapter 5 is addressed to the pastors, and he's reminding the pastors that the people need care like a flock needs care. Notice verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And he tells the pastors, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Amen. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist." That means fight. Amen. Don't give in to him. "Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Amen. And so we're reminded from the reading here that the church is like a flock. The church is like a flock of sheep. You know, sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd. Well, we know that because we got saved, but you know what? We also are totally dependent on him every day of our life. Amen? Every moment of every day, we're dependent on this great shepherd. We need the great shepherd. We need to walk with him. We need to feed on his word. We need to talk with him. The shepherd feeds the flock. The shepherd protects the flock. The shepherd gives his life for the flock. Thank God we do have a great shepherd, Jesus.
Amen.
The pastor and pastors also are to feed, protect the flock. And yes, protect it from false doctrine and false teaching. The pastors are to encourage the flock. And the pastors are to seek the flock when they go astray. As sheep often do stray. Any farmer can tell you that. Amen? And the pastors are to lead by example. And sheep, once in a while, maybe once or twice a year, they need to be sheared. Because they can't see where they're going with all that wool in front of their eyes. Amen? And you say, well, pastor, how come every once in a while you really yell and snort and stomp and spit when you're preaching? Well, I'm shearing. That's what I'm doing, is I'm shearing the sheep. And that has to be done every once in a while. Now, you probably get tired of hearing it every week. But a pastor's job has to every once in a while say some things that he'd rather not say, but God tells him, say it. If you love me, say it. It's my word. You don't have to apologize for it. Just say it. But Lord, so-and-so is going to get mad at me. Say it. Amen?
Amen.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Pastor was preaching a sermon one morning and he gave the invitation and a dear brother came forward and the pastor said, brother, what can I do for you? And he says, I want you to pray for my hearing. With that, the pastor, he said, would you pray with me? And he knelt down at the altar and the pastor put his hands on his brother's ears and he said, dear Lord, he says, I pray that you'd help my brother in Christ to hear better, and Lord, that you'd bless the doctors and those that will treat him. And Lord, we ask that you'd heal him to glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. He got up. He says, brother, you feel any better? He says, pastor, I wanted you to pray about my hearing. I go to court tomorrow. It's not easy being a pastor. We're expected to be mind readers. We're not mind readers, amen? I remember once I was pastoring a church and a lady got upset with me and I asked her what was wrong. She said, you didn't visit me in the hospital. I said, I didn't know you were sick. I said, did you call the church? No. Did you tell anyone? No. I said, well, what do you want from me? I felt like saying that. I didn't say that. I mumbled that all the way to the car. But we're not mind readers. Give us a little levity sometimes. But all the church is like a flock. And the shepherd. You know, if we're all looking to the shepherd, he'll continue to bless our church. Amen?
Amen.
If we keep praying for one another, he'll bless our church. If we keep upholding one another in prayer and caring for one another as we're supposed to, he will bless us. Yes, we need him. And we show our dependence on him as sheep when we assemble together. That's what we're doing this morning. We're saying to the Lord, we depend on you. When we offer our offerings to him, we're saying we're depending on you. When we daily speak to him and have our daily devotions or our quiet time, we're saying, Lord, we depend on you. I'd like you to look at Ephesians chapter 3, please. Church is like a family. I don't know if you grew up in a big family or not, but if you're saved, you are a member of a big family now. Ephesians 3, verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And notice verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The church is like a family. You know, family members bear the image of one another often. Someone says, she's got her father's eyes. There was a famous song, I think it was Amy Grant sang it many years ago. She has her father's eyes. Family resemblances are interesting, aren't they? Oh, he's the spitting image of his father. Or she has her mother's smile. The apple doesn't fall far from the
tree.
Like father, like
son.
Yeah. You know, the saints that are in earth and in heaven make up the family of God. And we are to conform into the image of our Father. It's a gradual process. It will be completed one day. But we're to be more and more like him. Amen?
Amen.
And the only Bible that some people will ever read is you and me. What do they read each day? What do they see? Do they see just another maniac driving down the street, beeping their horns at people? With a I Love Jesus sticker on their back bumper? I hope not. I'd like you to look at Acts 4:13, please. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. People need to take knowledge of us that we too have been with Jesus. But they won't unless we do spend time with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so if they give you a nickname like, here comes the Jesus girl, or here comes the deacon, or here comes the preacher, just take it as a badge of honor. Amen? That they see that there's a difference in our lives. It gives us an opportunity to tell them what Jesus has done. Last weekend at our military reunion, it was interesting in many ways. One way it was very interesting is that several of the men gave testimonies of Jesus, how Jesus saved them, and how they're following the Lord, and how it's made a difference in their lives. I'm glad that God can save people, aren't you?
Amen.
Yes. And he goes into this world seeking to save that which is lost. But the church is like a family. Church is also like a bride in the Bible. Revelation 19. The The bride of Christ, the church is called the bride of Christ. Revelation 19, verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. There's so much preparation for weddings. If you think back of your wedding day, maybe you remember the nervous breakdown you had during it. I was watching America's Funniest Videos. Some of the funniest videos are the calamities, unfortunately, of weddings. Maybe the groom faints and the future mother-in-law goes hysterical crying. But the church is like a bride. And one day, when that last soul is saved, there'll be a marriage supper. Amen? And all the redeemed of God shall be there. Yeah, the church is like a wife. Preparations are being made for that day. And it will be a joyful day. It will be music. There may be dancing, holy dancing. I don't know. But I know one thing, there'll be no cell phones. The church is also like a body. Ephesians chapter 1, please. I'll be wrapping up this sermon, as someone's alarm clock has reminded me. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, please. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Church body has many members. Amen. All members are important. No one member is better than another member of the body. They all have a function. They all have a purpose. They're all equal. Amen. And they all have one head. Now, a body with more than one head is called a monster. Amen? Halloween's coming. A body with two heads is a monster. The Lord's church has one head, and that's Him, Jesus. Amen. He is the head of the body. And He's the one that we need to hold on to. All the church is like a candlestick that gives light. It's like so many things in the Scripture. You know, there's two kind of people. Those that are in Christ and those that are out of Christ. When we're saved, we're put in Christ. And in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I suppose if there's one exhortation I'd like to give us this morning, and that is this: love your church. Love your church. Amen. You are the church. Love your church. Care for one another. Help one another. Get to know one another. Amen? Amen? Take the initiative. Have someone over for dinner you never had before. Amen, amen, amen?
Amen, amen.
All right. You might learn something about them. They might learn something about you. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of the church that has been purchased by a great price. We thank you for our own church here in Garfield. Thank you for each member of our church. And I pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen each member this morning. And I pray that you'd bless their lives. I pray that you'd give them grace and daily help and power. And those that have special needs today, we pray you'd meet those needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you in a personal way, they have not placed all their faith in Christ, I pray this morning you speak to their hearts. Have your will and way this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book, please. If you'd like to come this morning for prayer for any reason or any purpose, would you come as we sing Only Trust Him 541. Only trust Him.
Thank you. can catch a wagon.
You don't need it, right? You need the paper?
Thank you.
Amen.